and with many, many beers going, oh my gosh, this is not good now, but this is going to be really good like 10 years from now. And, you know, barley wines, really enjoy quite a bit of time to come around to this point. This is like a smoked caramel slowpoke is the best way I can describe this from a flavor profile. Sure. It has like 20 layers of sugars, and it's really wonderful. Thank you so much for bringing this, Tim. And Caperton really would have loved the moment of just being patient, you know, to open this. And he would have said, finally.
Yeah, exactly. we waited the right amount
of time.
Took
you long enough.
But yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's rate this up and move along, guys. We've got some more great beer to chat about.
I'm a fan of a 5. I'm going with the 5. We're going with the 5.
All right.
All right, Mr. Miyagi.
I brought Mr. Mingo. This is a 5.2% Saison from Gesture King Brewing in Austin, Texas. And I read up on this. Yes, that's right. A little bit about this beer. And they wanted to make like a simple Saison, which they did. But then I think it's got Columbus hops. But then they added hibiscus flowers in the boil. And then they dry hopped or dry flowered with more hibiscus at the end. So Julie and I, when we saw this at the store, we were talking about how, you know, Caperton was a huge home brewer, and he brewed mostly Saisons and stuff, but he had started experimenting with a lot of teas at one point during his home brewing.
Yeah, he teabagged me once.
Of course he did.
No.
I don't know where to go with that. I think he teabagged us all.
No, he gave me a nice bag of teas.
That's what I meant too. Yeah. Dude. Yeah, that's totally it. Okay. we should probably go to break right now. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. But anyways, because Caperton brewed with tea, we thought this would be a nice beer to bring to the show today and try. And so wow, Sparky, you really kind of jacked me all up there.
It's a great beer. The hibiscus flavor does come through.
We'll talk
we'll
more
be back
about
with
that.
More in just a minute.
No,
yeah,
no tea bag.
Just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is the second annual bottle share to celebrate our good friend, good old boy Caperton, that was taken from us way too soon. And in celebrating that, we've been talking about a bottle share here today of the things that Caperton would drink and his reactions at times of how he would feel about it. So right before the break, good old boy Dave started talking about the beer that he brought today.
Mr. Mingo from Gesture King. A Saison with hibiscus. What do you guys think about it?
Something very Caperton, which is, I don't know about this hibiscus, guys. So, I think he, it's always, a very delicate thing when you kind of step down this path of kind of trying to compete with floral components, in a beer. Sometimes it really works exceptionally well. To me, there's this bitterness and then there's the flower. They're kind of like right there that are the core part of, the flavor of this beer. And I keep on going back and forth, going, you know, they're in balance and in check, and then they're a bit off. And I don't know, it seems like every other sip, I'm kind of drawing into a different conclusion. It just, I don't know, there's something missing. I can't quite put my finger on it. There needs to be a base sugar component that needs to kind of hang on to both of those things and kind of grab a hold of them and go, yeah, you know, you're bitter and you're floral, but I'm sweet. I need to stay in the middle. And that's kind of missing from this taste profile for me.
I think you're that sweet component in the middle, Mike.
I don't know. I'm a fan of this. I like the hibiscus. I like the teeness of it. And this is something that I could see Caperton Brewing is something like this.
Yeah.
This feels like batch 8 of 40.
I see what Mike's saying about like the sugar kind of help carry both and sort of wed them together.
I would say add honey.
But yeah, although I mean that wouldn't necessarily,
I think you would just dry it
sweet,
out.
Yeah. That would dry it out more, but I do like it. I think it depends where you approach it from. Like I'm with Juliana in terms of like hibiscus tea and things like that. And you do get that like slight astringency, you know, maybe depending on how long you steep it or something like
slash
that.
Slash vegetalness kind of
yeah,
thing going
and
on.
It,
yeah.
And it can blend with the hops if you're a fan of that sort of, but if you're not, it can clash. But I do enjoy this, but maybe just because I think he would enjoy it. And so I'll say I like it too, but
fair.
I think it has a little tartness.
Okay. Well, the majority says that we're going to call Mr. Mingo a 3.
The majority being Mike.
You know, there's
that's
that.
Cool. That's
you
cool,
could be man. Right, Mike, but you're not. That's what Caperton would say.
Yeah.
that is what he would say.
So,
and if you don't like it, pass it over here. I'll have more.
Yes.
Throw me a freaking bone here.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
So the beer that I brought today is called Keeping Memories from Equilibrium Brewery. And I mean,
does anybody have it?
The name is appropriate.
Oh, the new Reverend Mark. I see.
Oh.
Wow.
The name in itself, you know, drew me in, but also the fact that Equilibrium is in the Hudson Valley and Caperton and I had many discussions about that little beer culture area and just how they were exploding between them and Hudson Valley and then Plan B and Poughkeepsie and like, you know,
Suarez.
Just
Plan B yeah.
and Suarez. Yeah. Like that
they
region.
Have the Huit La Coche. Is that
who, yeah.
Is
that yeah, yep. Exactly. So this is Equilibrium's first Solera beer.
Okay.
Which uses fractional blending to generate an ale with a unique distribution of aged components. And I thought that was...
I honestly don't think that I've ever had a Solera based Saison, like ever.
Okay.
That's really unusual.
Well, there's that.
So if you...
But it's like is it a sour... Saison?
It's a farmhouse like ale.
Yeah. So if you don't understand the unique difference from a production standpoint is that, so Solera beers, what they're doing is they are borrowing from Peter to Paypal, basically. So you're moving beers along, and it's a little bit like a back set that you would do constantly if you were... working with beer where you're constantly pulling things off and keeping the same yeast in line. Here, what you're doing is you're actually working with beers at different point in time. So you have things that have been aged for a certain period of time that are blended with something that's much younger and then blended with something even younger than that.
So it's like lambic.
It is a little bit way. Like lambics that are blended between 1, 2, and 3 years that are in gousses. Yeah,
yeah. It's a little different than like a traditional blending. You would select barrels, or you would taste all these barrels. You know, define
post fermentation. Right.
Yeah, define profiles, yeah. And then depending on what you're trying to achieve, use those to
but
create.
You're constantly
that.
With a Solera, you're constantly
blended
taking
in fermentation.
Beer out of the barrel and adding new right. stuff into the barrel.
Yeah.
And you're you're never going to taste exactly the same
thing. So that's the big difference between Solera and blending is these are actually done in the middle of the fermentation cycle itself. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you have one, you know, a lot of people, when they did American sours and stuff, you'd have one culture that was your house culture that, you know, like
you
Wicked Weed.
You
could
off.
Taste that anywhere and know what it was.
Yeah.
And so when it's all in the same vat, you pull a certain amount off, bottle it, whatever, and then add that fresh wort in, or fresh, usually probably fermented beer, and then it sours in that same culture.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, I mean, you can do the same thing in separate barrels, but it's just a different tool.
Well, the first word that came to my mind is squeaky clean lemon. Yeah.
That's like some four words, dude.
Really?
Yeah, and there's also lime too. So it's like, it's for me, limey. This is
a bit of a
neat
citrus
because,
overtone, I agree.
To me, it's neat because it's like lemon up front, and then it's lime towards the end.
And that's why I was asking about like a some sort of culture. Like, you know, there's a good bit of acid and maybe not sourness, but tartness to it, more than like that phenolic or bubblegum or whatever era it can go toward.
I think the one thing that Caperton would have said in all of us is, I never had this before.
Right.
Yep. This is very unique and very different in the production process itself as well as the outcome. I mean, this is just this is super solid. I really love it.
I think it's just
incredible.
It's just enough. Like, it's just sour enough.
Yep.
It's just tart
just
enough.
Just saison enough.
It's just saison. Like, it's
and it
gets right up to that point on all the notes.
And then, and of note, this is a collab with Keeping Together in Chicago. So just kind of neat.
What's
how
the, like the date or anything?
It does not say the date of when it was.
This is something I would want to have with something that's super fatty,
January 21.
Wow.
You know, that's chocolate grenache.
Bright and fresh.
A brie, you know, cheese, something that's very kind of fatty on the palate. This would be the perfect pairing.
I'm told that I'm pretty fatty on the palate.
Some pork belly.
Of course you
We'll write you a hall pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, really great beer, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. All the way.
Yeah, I love this.
All right. Glad you guys like it. We're going to rate it a 5. Keeping Memories from Equilibrium. Okay, so we got time for a couple of others, and you know we had some extras lying around. So these next two beers that we're going to talk about are from Fonta Flora, which is a great brewery that we are all very
North Carolina.
Yes, the Whirlpool Farm, the Ripperwill, farm is in Nebo. North Carolina, and then there's Morganton, North Carolina, which is the mothership, as I call it. Anyways, the first beer that we're going to talk about is High Like a Dove, which is another one that Tim brought. And this is an Appalachian wild ale fermented with local blueberries and conditioned on vanilla and nutmeg.
And because
6.4%
good old boy Caperton and good old boy Tim were often high like a dove.
That's because we're pacifists. We love peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the store.
All a piece of that.
This is
I love a piece of that joint.
Yeah.
We loved Fauna Flora. You know, they did a lot of sours. They go outside the box. They do a lot of local things. They just do a lot of things that sort of were what drew us into craft beer and in the first place. And so I saw this in the store, and then also it says High Like a Dove, and, you know, Sparky alluded to the army portion, and outside of, you know, wanting to do terrible, violent things to
was
Nazis,
he
was, you know, Dave Caperton was a tall, giant,
he was a man of peace,
pacifist.
Yeah.
Nazi.
Maybe not a pacifist,
robots.
But loving and gentle like a dove, a giant dove. So,
yeah. Giant big, bearded big, biker giant, looking dove.
I don't know. I didn't see the vanilla and nutmeg, so I'll see if I actually like this beer. But I'll say that.
I think the vanilla adds a nice, soft undertone to it.
I can appreciate them trying new things. And so
it's a berry explosion, but it has elements where it's been tempered and kind of soft, you know, on it. So, I mean, we've had, you know, so many other things that are in this style that are very, you know, acid forward and very attacking and just kind of overwhelm your palate. This has just really good balance, you know, between, you know, everything that's kind of going on. And it really is the component of a little bit of sugar.
This is
kind of coming around.
This
and
is
saying,
where somebody would have jammed a whole buttload of lactose into it.
And so,
and kind of effed it up.
Blueberries tend to do that, kind of rein things in because they have enough sugar to kind of, you know, compete with. And even after it's been destroyed by, you know, most of the lactose that you would place on this, there's enough residual sugar to hang around to kind of, you know, balance it all out. So I really, I love this. This is a great example of excellent timing more than anything. If you had had this, you know, 3 years earlier or even 2 years later from now, I think you would have been missing, you know, the moment of great balance.
What do you think about it, Sparky?
You know, I'm always a big fan of blueberries. I feel like, yeah, I mean, this, it's really nice, fruity, balanced. I think I'd want to drink one of these before I beat up some Nazis after, like, putting my pacifism aside.
Fair. Yeah, how about you, JB?
For a second.
I think it's great. What I like about it is that the vanilla isn't overpowering. You're getting this nice, slightly acidic blueberry, and the nutmeg at the end is just like perfect.
I didn't get the nutmeg at all. I mean, I got the blueberries and vanilla, but
I got some nutmeg. Spices, yeah. I got some nutmeg.
It reminds
right at the
me
end.
Of like a blueberry pie or a tart or something
kind
like
of.
It's got like those, more allspice for me, but you know.
Oh.
It's a. Okay. There are some just general baking spices, I think, on the back end of this that are there. Yeah, for sure.
It's an Appalachian wild ale. And aside from Saisons, American wild ales, what Capers and I would always drink.
Yeah. Well, we are going to rate High Like a Dove a 4. Now, last but certainly not.
Can we tell the whole hotel story? I got to
hear
this.
We're going to. So while we pour this beer, we'll tell the story. So,
yes.
Tim, tell us what happened, buddy.
Yeah, Tim.
I don't know.
You went to
Julie,
the Fauna Flora Festival.
Yeah, so Fauna Flora, they were having this festival. State of Origin. And so what it was is that at least one of the beers that you brought. You had to have at least one beer that you brought as the brewery that included,
something from the state where you're from, your state
of origin. And so back then it was a lot harder. You know, now we have a little more regional malt houses and things like that.
But you can't put that much BS into a bottle.
Yeah. I mean, mostly it was fruit.
But
they got some really cool places that we'd never heard of, like Arizona Wilderness, Plan B.
People brought corn, you know, stuff with corn from their state, or honey, like Plan B and that kind of thing.
Yeah, heirloom rice that was, you know, from South Carolina.
It
was really neat way to just showcase local agriculture. But I mean, this was, I don't know, 2018 or 17 or something.
I think 17.
You know, Fauna Flora was ahead. And Fauna Flora put on this festival is what we're saying. They were ahead of their time.
Yeah. And we were really looking forward to this. So you came out there. Did you drive out early or you were hanging out with your family?
I think we all drove together, but I met up with my brother there.
That's what it was.
My younger brother and his girlfriend.
Okay, gotcha. And so Caperton was going to stay with us.
They were both going to stay with us.
We're all going to crash in the same hotel room.
A couple rollout beds.
Morganton, North Carolina. There's two hotels, maybe just this one day's.
And we booked it early.
And there's a whole beer festival. So everything's sold out. And we booked early.
Yeah. And we booked this super early and we asked for two rollout beds.
Yep. For me and Caperton.
Right. And at the time, it was confirmed in my, in the itinerary that we asked for two rollout beds.
Let me just say, I was the one who I grabbed a rolling cart and I came in last from the van.
This is before the festival.
Yeah.
Right.
So we were not drunk. This is not some.
We got there early. I walk into the lobby, I hear Caperton say, "No, you're an asshole."
Environmental bite.
So, I mean, I didn't realize you were late. Julie, correct me if I'm wrong. Basically, the person in front of us, the owner person running this hotel, was given her the business about something. He was being kind of an a-hole.
He was being a jerk.
To her. Right.
And he was saying, there's no way you could have asked for this. And I'm showing him on my phone.
Well, I think even before that, he was being an a-hole to a customer. And
right away, Caperton's
like,
yeah,
I don't like this guy. And I'm not going to put up with his BS. And so then they're telling him.
And escalated. Yeah.
And he escalated that situation from a 3 to a 10 in about 30 seconds.
Long story short, we had to find different hotels.
Kicked out of the hotel.
Right. Kicked out of the hotel.
So Julian Caperton and I stayed in a hotel about a half hour away.
And I slept on the floor of my brother's hotel room.
Which was the
terribly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Hey, look online for our rating of this last beer, okay?
Okay. But anyways, the beer that we were going to talk about is the Fonda Flora Brine Oyster Saison, which is something that we talked about at
the we've all drank with Caperton.
Yes, yeah. We have.
And it has unspecified other sea creatures.
The label
in it
warns
well.
That it might have unspecified other sea creatures in it.
2017, who knows? Okay.
I feel the pirate ducking coming on.
Good old boy, Mike. Thank you so much for
hey,
being here.
Thanks for enjoying this excellent episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Good old boy, Sparky. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, man. It'd be great to have one last big old Caperton hug because he was 1.5 times bigger than me. Yeah.
Yes. Good old boy, Sparky. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for Tim.
Oh, my
Tim.
God.
For good old boy.
Good old boy Tim.
That's good old boy Tim. We'll wear
sorry,
name tags next
sorry.
Time.
I'll wear a name Timmer. Tag.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's great hanging out. Always great drinking good beer with good people.
Oh,
and
gosh.
It was
friend.
Double good having
right.
Sparky here.
Fine. Good old boy Dave. Say
bye,
goodbye.
Everybody.
Bye.
This is good old pal Juliana. Keep on chuggling. Catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the dude in the basement studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.